It's a busy Friday around Everbank Field. The free agents are here. They're in the building. Contracts being signed throughout the earlier morning and now into the afternoon. And a press conference coming up at 1 o'clock to introduce the newest members of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Welcome in. Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick, Brian Sexton, John Osier. We'll hear from Dave Caldwell, the Jaguars general manager. He's scheduled to speak at this press conference at 1 o'clock and the newest members of the Jaguars as well. As frenzied of a day yesterday on Twitter and everything around the league, it's even busier in the building today, guys, and it's always a fun day.
Well, today's the day when the unofficial becomes official. And, you know, it couldn't have been a better week within the context of what this team set out to do in free agency this offseason. I don't know they could have had a better week. I know people are saying, well, offensive line. I get that, but to get A.J. Bouye to, it appears, get Calais Campbell. I know they're waiting on the contract, but that's, you know.
He's in the building.
Yeah, two of the top 10 guys in free agency plus Barry Church. I don't know what more you could have done to solidify and raise the talent base within these last few days.
Well, and you hope that this year, unlike previous years, that, I mean, these are the guys that get it done. I mean, we've seen a lot of free agents through here, and not all of them have been successful. Now, you talk to Calais Campbell or an A.J. Bouye, and you start to realize, I mean, these are guys. And Campbell's huge. Bouye's self-made, right? Undrafted out of Central Florida, and look where he has risen to.
As is Church.
And Church.
Same deal.
But Church was the guy that I most enjoyed talking to. Mm-hmm. Nothing against the other guys. But he got emotional about it. I mean, it was important to him, and his wife and his 9-month-old son were sitting right there. And he said to get the chance to take care of his family, undrafted, out of Toledo, suffered an Achilles injury in 2013. Well, yeah, it's a big day for Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone.
A.J. Bouye's life's changed, too.
Forever.
But he's only 17 years old, so it's hard. he's a young-looking guy. He's 25. But, you know, in his fourth year, probably doesn't have the appreciation for what a life-changing moment it is that Barry Church does in his ninth year.
You know, not to pour cold water, because I'm not, because these are important guys, and these are guys who are going to make this team better. But we were talking earlier, John. The hope is these guys come in, the quarterback comes back and plays well, and next year this isn't as big a day.
Oh, right? Absolutely. I mean, you would rather have the lights turned off in the building.
Yeah, right.
I know I would, because I'd be home.
But, well, but the point is that, you know, draft and develop, and then have these guys come in and fill a role, start to, you know, to take that step forward so that you're not constantly stepping into this marketplace at the very beginning.
Well, when your franchise is walking the path where you want to be, which, as you say, is drafting, developing, letting free agents go, getting compensatory picks, that's where you want to be. Well, guess what? The Jaguars aren't there yet. So they are trying to get the roster to a point where they can get competitive and then get to that point we're talking about. That's a process. That wasn't the goal this year. The goal this year was to try to increase the talent base. And I think for a second consecutive year, they did it. And as you said, now let's see where they go. Realistically, they signed three big, big, big names today. If two of them live up to the expectations, wow, what a day.
Brandon Albert being the third. And, you know, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. When you look at the premium positions in the NFL, I mean, they're quarterback, left tackle, pass rushing defensive end, cornerback, and now wide receiver has stepped up into that with some of the players that we see in the league on a Sunday-to-Sunday basis. Well, they signed a left tackle, they signed a cornerback, and they signed a pass rusher. It's pretty good work. I mean, Dave Caldwell working the phones with John Idzik, getting the contracts together, that's pretty good work.
Yeah, and clearly they believe that, you know, Albert and Church and Campbell all feel like similar gets to me, which is you hear they're solid locker room guys, solid leaders. No matter how they perform on the field, they are going to be guys that are respected within the locker room and can set that veteran tone. You know what you're getting. And guess what? Church and Campbell, when you talk about, and Albert as well, when you talk about wanting to win now, these guys are not at the age where they're on a four-year plan. Typically, they may be here in 4 years, but their best years should be the first couple they're here. Talk about winning now. These moves today are about that.
Press conference coming up at 1 o'clock today to introduce the newest members of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And as we said a moment ago, they're still working out some of the details of the Calais Campbell contract. He may or may not be a part of that press conference. Don't fret. He's in the building. I drove him here today, so yeah. I know he's around. He's here.
Is that up on Jaguars.com
Not
yet.
Okay. It'll come up a little bit later
today. It takes
today.
Some specialty advertising.
So to have
editing,
him,
I should say.
To have him on the defensive line, as you guys said, and then the additions in the secondary. Boye, Church, to go with what's already here, especially on the back end of this defense right now, it's a group that's primed and ready moving forward here.
Right, it's rush and cover, right? Mm-hmm. You got to have both sides of it. Jalen Ramsey is a seminal talent. Seminole talent, too, if you want to go with it. But yeah, I don't do the joke thing very often, but when I do, good. You know, I appreciate the laugh back.
That's good.
So you've got that guy. I mean, the absolute stud. And then you have put around him a guy that most people think is in Boye, who, you know, he was widely sought, was going to be one of the highest paid players in this free agent class. Gibson, last year you paid $6 million a year. Now you're bringing Church in at $6 million a year. So, you know, we talk all the time when you get the pass rush, the coverage is better. Well, the coverage is better, so potentially the pass rush should get better, too.
Well, and to me, if I have a favorite event of the week, it's getting Campbell, because you've got to get pressure, disruption, dominated line of scrimmage for the guys in back to matter. It's great for Ramsey and Boye to be good, and I think they're going to benefit from Boye being good because they're going to throw at him a lot because Jalen's over there. But if you can't disrupt the quarterback and he has 6 or 7 seconds to throw, then it really doesn't matter how good those two guys are. So if Campbell's the guy, if he can create disruption for a couple of years, then absolutely, I think he'll be remembered short term as the best signing out of this class.
And well, we were talking about it off the air, kind of comparing him to John Henderson up front. Hen was a bigger, thicker guy.
Hen is one of the big. Big players to ever play in this game.
Campbell's got a little size to him, too. 6'8", 300, some type of presence there on the
line. He can
do
both. He can stop the run, but he also disrupts. He's had 5 sacks every year of his career since his rookie year.
Well, his arm
is consistency.
I don't know if that tells you what his wingspan is, right? I mean, but when you look at how long his arms are and big his hands are, you see a guy who bats the ball down at the line of scrimmage, and I think you'll find he has a fair number of passes defensed at the line of scrimmage. He's also a guy who reaches out for the quarterback and dislodges the football, which we haven't seen enough of from the front, creating those opportunities. What do we go, 4 or 5 games last year where there wasn't a turnover at one point, maybe 6? This is a guy that's going to do that. He's going to create opportunities. He is huge. And what I was going to say was that you put him with Malik Jackson now, who was a very disruptive guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got two massive guys in there. I mean, two guys that can do a lot of different things.
This probably won't be an issue, but I'm putting two and two together. He hasn't signed yet, and he rode in with Shattered.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I mean,
what did you say to him?
At some point, we need some confirmation here.
I guess we'll find out on Jaguars.com coming up.
I blame Shattuck.
How it went.
All right.
Maybe you won't.
We'll see.
To your point, though, Brian, 8 forced fumbles in his career, 56 and a half sacks, including 8 a year ago in a contract year. That's a pretty good year for a guy who's played 9 seasons in the league, 2 Pro Bowls.
That puts him at the top of the Jaguars all-time sack chart if he had those here. I mean, that's a guy's got a lot done, and people didn't look at him as a pure pass rusher, but it sure looks like he can do everything you need him to do.
Yeah, I don't think he's a pure pass rusher, but when you get 5 a year, 5, 6, 7, 8 are his numbers over time, and he had 8 last year and was in the Pro Bowl in 2015. Now, with a player of his experience going into his 10th year, you never know when that drops off, but right now there's no indication that it has, and they need a guy like this who is a veteran pro, who other people in the locker room, not every free agent comes in and automatically has the respect of other people in the locker room. These guys, especially Campbell, are the kind of guy who has that immediately. I think he'll fit right in with the leaders in this locker room.
Yeah, I mean, he's not that quick twitch pass rusher, but we're looking at him now push the pocket back, and you can see him get on the edge. He got on the edge against Kelvin Beachum when Kelvin was playing in Pittsburgh and just drove it back. So he can do a lot of different things that you wouldn't necessarily look at the height, weight measurement and say, oh, that's what he is. But he is a dominant interior defender with the ability to get on the edge.
Yeah, I don't care if you twitch or not, as long as the quarterback's on the ground at this point.
Yeah.
I'm looking up and seeing Aaron Rodgers on the ground. And
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
He's not an easy guy to get on the ground.
I don't know that I saw that in week one last year.
No, you did not.
So, I mean, and I'm making light of it, but he is as it were, and he's one of those guys who figures out a way to get there.
I like the teal tie that he's sporting today. Do you know that he had somebody go find that for him?
I did not.
He did not want to show up without a teal tie on. That's impressive.
That's doing research.
Tom will like that.
He is a guy who wants to have an impact on the field and in the locker room. And when you stand in front of him, first of all, he's massive, and he's got this great big deep voice. Mm-hmm. And when he speaks with authority. Been to the last two Pro Bowls, had his best year last year, and it doesn't hurt with all the zeros after your salary for the players to go, if that's what it takes
right.
to be successful, I want to do what he did.
And I don't know that Barry Church quite has that same, he didn't have a tie on today, but you get the idea from what people in Dallas say about Church, and we're talking to him today, that he may not have worn the teal tie today, but he's going to be that guy in the secondary, much like Campbell will be up front, that the younger players, and it's still young, even Boye is young now, even Gibson isn't quite as young as those guys, but he's younger than Church. You get the idea that Church can be that same sort of influence. And that's important on a team, and it's frankly something this team has needed for a while.
He's had impact in that Dallas secondary, too, mm-hmm. is around the ball a lot, has a handful of interceptions in his career, a couple last year, and very good in a shorter space, too, up in the box. Can really play. This guy's got some talent.
Yeah, they're both veteran guys who've done it. And, again, I get that people, when you begin to that ninth year, eighth year, people get concerned. But usually your core age, your ideal age is 27. Well, this team this year clearly has signed a couple of guys who are a little older than 27, and it all lines up to me with the whole thing that Tom said at the first press conference. Hey, we're going to win. And we're going to win now, and it's not going to be about he didn't say this, but the idea you get is it's not going to be about 2020.
Well, and you've got a guy in Church that went through that miraculous season mm-hmm. with the two rookies driving Dallas up and down the field. So you've got that experience. I think if you look at the Jaguars' average age last year, it was less than 26. So,
and it felt that young.
Yeah, right.
It's felt that young for the last few years, sure. And it's time to...
You can be as old as you want, but yeah. If the leaders aren't in that 28, 29 veteran mature thing, they have a few of them. But I think even the ones that are there would tell you they need more.
Another addition today, Laurente McCray, defensive end. Was originally listed as linebacker. Jaguars are listing him as a defensive end.
But when you ask him, what is he?
He said all 22 positions, I think.
Well, and he goes straight to special teams.
Right.
He understands
his
role.
What he is than anything, yeah. Obviously.
He understands the role that he was brought here for. And I was interested because I said, what are you? And he said, teams. Core teams guy. This is one of Joe D's guys that won a Super Bowl together in Denver. He understands how Joe D wants to get it done. And when you bring coordinators in, they like to find a guy that they've worked with before that they can count on to help implement their system. Remember when Gus first got here and they went and got Clemens and brought in, Red Bryant.
Yes.
Same kind of thing except on teams.
And that's significant because you remember a couple weeks ago when Tom talked, he talked about guys who were playing special teams, talked about its importance. Usually when you talk to guys in interest situations, they talk about their position on the field first on offense or defense and then mention special teams. Not insignificant that one of the signings today is a guy who talked about special teams first.
Our first look in the building at Brandon Albert, as we mentioned as well. We're about to go down the hallway here in just a moment for the press conference today, introducing some of the new faces for the Jags. Dave Caldwell, Jaguars GM, scheduled to speak also. The trade, we've known about it for a couple of weeks, but finally came through yesterday for a 7th-round pick next season. The other way, Julius Thomas goes down to Miami in a trade, and we'll hear from all these guys. Coming up right now, the press conference down the hall, free agent frenzy on Jaguars.com Live.
Start with Dave up front.
You're back. What happened to hockey? How are we doing? I think first off, we had a pretty busy couple days, but the process started right after the season for us, obviously. So want to thank, obviously, Shad Khan, who's made a commitment to this organization and a financial commitment to the city to let us invest into these players and put the best product on the field as possible. Obviously, Coach Marone and his staff, Coach Coughlin, our personnel staff, and then obviously John Idzik and Tim Walsh and doing the contracts were invaluable to the success over the last couple of days that we had in getting these players. So all the credit goes to those guys and the coaching staff and identifying these players that we targeted and we went hard after. So with that being said, I'll open it up.
AJ, obviously you saw him play a couple of times. What was attractive about bringing him along to play opposite of Ramsey?
Well, whenever you can, we think Jalen's a very good corner for us, and if you could add another very good corner, you got two guys on the outside that can hold up the quarterback for an extra half second for guys like Dante and Yannick and Kalais and Malik to get to him.
Last Hey, Dave, how attractive was Campbell's versatility, and how do you foresee him best fitting in for you guys?
Well, I think he and Malik have very similar traits, you know, in terms of their length, their athleticism. He's a dominant player, not only inside but outside too. So I think it'll be a week-to-week thing. I think between he and Malik, those guys will be on the field the majority of the time. But where they line up, it'll be week-to-week, and it'll be for the opposing teams to kind of figure that out. Brian?
Barry Church, veteran guy. How important was it to bring in somebody who's had some success in this league and can be a leader?
Well, talk about a leader. This is a guy, and I know him well from college. We tried to sign him when I was in Atlanta as a college free agent, and he decided to go to Dallas. But he's an undrafted free agent that was a four-time defensive captain for the Dallas Cowboys, which is tells you all you need to know about that guy.
Follow up on Church is, can he play both free and strong? Is that how you?
Yeah, he's a strong safety. I think he's very good in the box, but he's got more than enough athleticism and speed to be in the deep half there too.
Tom obviously put a heavy emphasis on special teams when he came in here. How much did that play into bringing in McCray, who would work with DeCamillis?
Yeah, well, he's a very good special teamer, and that's his main objective right now. And we also have some hope for him to be able to rush the passer too. He's got some pass rush skills, and I think in our system and our scheme where he can just rush the passer and not have to worry about doing all the zone drops and dropping into coverage, I think he still has a high ceiling. D-Rock?
Thanks. All four guys' defense, just not – options available at the price you were looking for offensively?
No, we looked at some options. Obviously, we had our targets, and we felt like two of our main targets that we could get were on defensive side of the ball, and we got those two big guys, and Barry weren't sure if he'd get out of Dallas, and once we realized that they weren't going to be able to re-sign him, that was our objective. And we did add a two-time Pro Bowl left tackle, too, so... I know we didn't get him a free agency, but we added him to the team.
Campbell talking about Coughlin, saying Coughlin was one of the big draws here. Did you find that? Was that unique to him, or did you find that from, Church and some of those other guys that they liked?
Well, I think Tom's invaluable in this process. I mean, his reputation and his ability to, he's got a lot of relationships with agents, and as we start to get the ball rolling and to get Tom on the phone with some of these agents was critical in us closing those deals. So, yeah.
Follow up on Albert. What can he give you that you haven't gotten at a left tackle spot the last couple of years?
Well, he's such a big man, and his wingspan and his ability to pass protect. I think he's very motivated to play at a high level, and his pass protection, and he's looks like to be in very good shape right now. So we're excited about his year coming up here.
Follow up on Brandon. He came here last month. Was it almost a free agent recruiting type thing, or was that more medical?
It was more medical. It was more medical. And to get him in here and see where he was at physically, I know he had an injury last season, and make sure he was good with that. And he did finish the season. So he's in good shape, and he's working hard right now.
Dave, even if you have salary cap space as good as you have it this year or somewhere reasonable, do you foresee a spending spree like this being any kind of a common theme, or do you think that it's going to be on a year-by-year basis?
I think it's a year-by-year basis. You guys know our philosophy, and the way you have sustained success in this league is building through the draft. And, we're just trying to fill holes through free agency. And when we're able to fill holes with players like Kalias and AJ and Barry and Brandon, that's great. Every team has needs, and you go into an offseason trying to fill, 6 to 8 of your top 10 needs, and we felt like we filled some of those needs over the last couple of days.
Can you talk about how the free agency plan has kind of evolved since you've been here, and maybe chasing some of the bigger names now?
We have the cap space, and I think we have. I think there was, when I first got here, it was difficult to get players to take a visit. I think there was a big misconception about Jacksonville. And I think anybody that has come here, and I think we've been able to change the perception of Jacksonville. It's a great city. It's a great community. And it's a great place to play football. And now we just have to show the results. Now, the hard work comes now, on the field and getting wins.
Dave, if you had to play tomorrow, are you happy with your offensive line?
Yeah, I think I think we're always looking to upgrade. But we have, you know, like we said, we added a two-time Pro Bowl left tackle. We got Brandon Linder at center. We got a young A.J. Khan who's still ascending. We felt like Jeremy Parnell played very well towards the end of last season when he was healthy. And we have a great competition at left guard right now and guys that have played. And so we went from year one, I think we gave up 70-plus sacks to where were we last year, middle of the pack, 34 sacks. So, you know, we're always looking to upgrade, but we can line up tomorrow.
Dave, with AJ and Jalen, what kind of problems do you think you guys give opposing passing attacks now?
Well, a lot of it's going to depend on AJ and Jalen. You know, they have to perform at a high level and continue to do that and do the right things to be prepared on a weekly basis. But I think where we'll have a lot of flexibility in the back end, whether we want to travel one of them to a receiver, we could play the matchup game, we can leave them on left or right. Both those guys will have a lot of action. Usually when you have a very talented player like Jalen, the other corner will sometimes get picked on. Now you have a very talented corner in AJ, they're going to have equal opportunities to make plays.
When you guys had the turnover drought, how much did that kind of emphasize how much you guys needed some playmakers in free agency?
Well, I think it all starts up front. I know along the defensive line, I know Coach Coughlin's a big believer of that. Coach Marone's a big believer of that. So if we can control the line of scrimmage and, give those guys in the back end a chance, I think if you look across the league, a majority of turnovers come from, you know, your linebackers and your back end. So, moving Miles and putting him on the field more often, I think will help us with that too.
Looking back, 2013 draft, that entire class may be gone by the end of free agency here. How do you look back at that class now? Do you view it as a bad class or just guys didn't work out? How do you view
it? I think it is what it is. I think, you know, those two guys that just signed are very good football players. I think you see and kind of what I explain to you over the past, and you and I have had this conversation, with Luke Jokel. Luke Jokel, you know, had a very big market in free agency, and we were trying like heck to keep him. And unfortunately, the injury played a part into how much we could do with Luke. So if it wasn't for the injury and the unfortunate situation with that, we probably would have kept him. And Sip obviously had a big market too. And so I think those two guys, they played well. It didn't work out for them, you know, long term here, but we got four good years out of those guys.
How much flexibility does today's signings?
Avery Jones, I guess, would probably be right there. Right. Yeah, that's true.
How much does today's signings and the trade, how much flexibility does that give you for the first couple rounds of the draft?
Well, it does a lot, and that's what we want to go into. We want to go into with a clean slate into the draft and be able to take the best player available at four. And when you're picking in the top five, you should be able to do that.
And for the next couple weeks or so, is there some things you still want to accomplish with depth-wise?
Yeah, and we're in the process right now. We're talking to agents. We got deals we're trying to close on certain players and looking to see where we can upgrade at every position.
All right, we'll finish up with Gene.
Dave, how hopeful this time next year and the year after that are you that the money that you're going to be spending is going to be on second contracts for your players as opposed to other teams' players?
Well, I try not to look too far ahead, and that's the plan. You'd always like to reward your own players, but we got to win games. And in order to reward your guys, we have to have success on the field. So it's a team effort, and, you know, the guys that we just brought in are going to help with that. But there's a lot of work to be done between now and the end of the season, and I don't really want to start looking to free agency next year quite yet.
As a follow-up, as we get closer to the draft, if the price is right, you open the trading down? Because we'll talk so much about the depth of this draft.
No, we'll look at every situation. You know, we were open to trading down last year, and, you know, Jalen Ramsey fell to us. So, you know, you can always have those options, but you got to make the right move for your team.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
Bari or Barry?
The comments of Dave Caldwell, the Jaguars general manager, Brandon Albert, moments away at the podium. We'll have that for you live. J.P. Shadrick, Brian Sexton, the only addition on the offensive side, Brandon Albert. They didn't do anything else in free agency yet.
Well, and there will be a market that will start to evolve next week as teams sign guys and then make, you know, roster reductions based on salary cap issues or just talent issues. But there will become a secondary and even third, tertiary market, I believe is what it's called, of guys that will pop out there that you weren't expecting. You know, they've got Patrick Omame, who they believe is a guy who can compete for the starting job. And what did you have, six guards there last year at 1.6? Yeah. So at some point, you have to let him compete.
Let's go down the hall. Brandon Albert.
All right, we'll start on the side with Mike King.
How special is this for you, third big contract of your career, you know, in a new place, getting a fresh start?
I think this is probably the most special for me in terms of the meaning or purpose being here. When the whole situation went down, I was initially released and it was rescinded. Now I look at the situation that, you know, this is a place where God has sent me, and I'm excited about the purpose being here. And, you know, being on my third contract, you know, it's a blessing, but, you know, I worry about more of the mission while I'm here and the mission I got to complete while I'm here.
Follow up to that. What made you feel so wanted? You keep emphasizing that. What made you feel so wanted?
You know, I was going to hit the free agent market. It was a lot of teams after me. You know, not trying to toot my own horn, I probably was one of the best free agent left tackles out there. And for them to say, hold on, let's make this trade, and being at the age I'm in, I am, and those other free agent left tackles that are capable, and for them to say, no, you know what, we want to make a trade, and, you know, we want you.
Brandon, you said on the conference call yesterday that you're a player more leads by example. Mm-hmm. But because of the youth of particularly this line, mm-hmm. will you feel more in any way more compelled to be maybe a little bit more vocal than you have been in the past?
No. That's not me. I tried it last year, and man, I mean, that's just not me. I was asked to do that, but it's just not me. I'm in my own zone, being the best player I could be. You know, people feel it. People feel the aura, and they gravitate, and people want to, you know, why did this guy get to where he's at? And there's other players like Calais that signed here. So when you got a group of guys like that and guys that are successful, guys just automatically want to follow, and hopefully that's the path that this team goes on, that we sign the right guys. The guys that are here are the right fit. We got the right coaching, and everybody falls in line.
Brandon, some of you guys that have come here already spoken fondly about Jacksonville and this organization. I mean, it's an organization that's only won 17 games in 5 years.
Yeah.
Why do you feel like that? What is it attractive to someone coming in from the outside?
First of all, I played in Kansas City, and this place reminds me of Kansas City, that they're serious about the football. They want to win. And as you can see, they're doing a lot of things to make it happen. And, you know, I knew Coach Marone before this. He recruited my nephew out of high school when he was a coach at Syracuse. So just being in Jacksonville and being, you know, going to Miami and now being in Jacksonville and, you know, being mature man about the situation and realizing it's all about football and all about purpose, and Jacksonville is the perfect spot for me right now, where I'm at in my life.
Brandon, on the conference call yesterday, you told a story about Tom Coughlin's importance to you being here. It kind of broke up a little bit on the call. Could you repeat that and just sort of why he meant so much?
Bobby Hart. 2 years ago, we played the Giants, and Bobby Hart texted me. He's a young right tackle over there, and I know him personally. And I guess they do scouting each week of players. And he told me Coach Coughlin doesn't give anybody compliments, but he loved Brandon Albert for some reason. And I had read it, like, somewhere in the newspaper, some of the stuff he was saying about me at that time. And now that I get to meet him, and the football, you know, brain that he has, is a big compliment. And, that's why another reason why I just feel like is I'm meant to be here.
Brandon, could you give us your nephew's name, and did he end up going to Syracuse?
Oh, yes, Ashton Broyle. He did go to Syracuse, played there 3 years. He's in a situation. He had a tough path. And now he's back there going to school and finishing his degree, and he's on probably in the next month going to do his pro day, get a chance to do a pro day, and hopefully gets his opportunity.
There's the left tackle, Brandon Albert, from the Chiefs to the Dolphins to the Jaguars. And it was interesting, he said this reminded him of the Chiefs a little bit. They're serious about football. Tom Coughlin has a big part of that. He and head coach Doug Marrone have a little bit of a history through family ties there of recruiting back at Syracuse. So for him, it seems like a perfect spot right now where he is.
Well, Dave Caldwell made a point when he was standing at the podium saying, oh, yeah, we did add this two-time Pro Bowler. I know it wasn't in free agency. And that's kind of how this is going to go for the first day or two. People are going to look at Campbell and Boye getting the big contracts, and they're going to overlook the fact that you're bringing in a two-time Pro Bowl left tackle. And for him, he probably could have hit the free agent market. I don't know whether you saw that Russell Okung got a big deal in San Diego.
Yes.
Left tackles are very difficult to find. This was a very smart move on the part of the Jaguars and very cost-effective if the terms are what we hear, a 2018 seventh-round pick for a guy who clearly can still play. Now, they have circumstances in Miami with a kid that they drafted last year.
Yep.
Right, so they needed to find a spot. His salary's too high. This is a perfect opportunity for Albert to find a young line that he can lead with example. There's a lot of young. Brandon Linder is still a very young guy.
There's no doubt about it.
AJ Cann is a young guy.
Both on their first contract.
And you're probably going to see Patrick Omame have a shot to win the starting left job. You can't pay everybody $8, $9, $10 million on the offensive line. You need a couple of role players that play at reasonable salaries. So a guy like Patrick Omame isn't better by the fact that he has Brandon Albert outside of him. You bet he is.
Yeah.
You bet he is. So he is a really valuable signing, not just for what he does to protect your quarterback, but how he helps bring your young offensive line together, because he played on some good lines in Kansas City.
We're going to go back down the hall in a moment when the next player comes in for the press conference here on Jaguars.com. As we have told you earlier, Calais Campbell still working through some details of the contract. He's in the building. Don't worry. It's just a matter of getting it done. You may not hear from him today in this environment, but he is in the building. So we'll if we find news on that, we'll get that to you, of course. I'm not sure who's next. Boye, Church, McCray are slated to speak to the group next. All defensive guys. Every time we prepared for the Houston Texans, especially last season, there was a game last year where there was a question whether he was going to be up or not. He ended up not being up for that game.
That was the game here.
Yes, and everybody's like, oh, great, Boye's not up.
Right.
When he was up last year and healthy, that guy can play now.
Well, and I know that he did a pretty good job against Allen Robinson. Yeah. When you stand next to him, look, Allen Robinson, I look up at. I mean, he's a big, tall guy. Boye, I look down at him. I think he's 5'11", right? So you're talking about a guy who, size-wise, you wouldn't say, oh, yeah, that's a shutdown corner. But he did a nice job last year on the Jaguars' bigger receivers, and I thought was a player that they had to contend with. Hey, look, the Eagles, the Colts, the Titans, the Bears, all those teams that were reportedly looking at him would not have wasted their time on a player that they didn't think could come in and earn his money. And he's quiet and he's confident. He's excited to be back in Florida. I think he's really excited when he looks at the secondary. Because he played in a good secondary.
Absolutely.
A really good secondary in Houston. But when you look at Jalen Ramsey, he gives you the potential to play in a dominant secondary. He's that kind of a player. So you get a Boye now who plays with Ramsey opposite him and safeties like Church and Gibson. I think he sees the chance not only to come out and help contribute to win, but to play at his very best.
Yeah, not only Ramsey on the outside going into his second season, but Colvin into his fourth year, a contract year. And Gibson, who's been around the league for a while on the back end, and Church coming in, who's been a pro for a long time.
Yeah, and I haven't watched enough Dallas to be able to tell you that I know a lot about Barry Church, except that here's a guy who made a lot of tackles, third on their team with 85 tackles last year. So a guy who can get up into the box, a guy who can roam from sideline to sideline and help clean up plays, and you always need that in this league.
Moments away from heading back down the hall, the press conference underway. You heard from Dave Caldwell a moment ago, the Jaguars general manager and the left tackle Brandon Albert. Anything else on Caldwell stand out to you? Dave Caldwell, we don't get to hear from
you know,
a lot.
What I want to point out about that is that, you know, the last couple of days around here with the state of the franchise and the start of free agency, we've talked about Tom Coughlin, right? Yes. It's amazing how his personality has come in. He's not the head coach or the general manager. Now, I realize he's above that in a new position. But we have said Tom Coughlin more than we've said Doug Marrone. We've said Tom Coughlin more than we've said Dave Caldwell. And these players have talked about Marrone. So we've got to talk about Caldwell for a minute. And I think when you look at the way that he's able to go and get Boye and Campbell, two of the top players available last year, just narrowly lost out on Olivier Vernon. He and his team, which includes Tim Walsh and John Idzik, you know, they had to put a game plan together. They had to get on the phone, get these agents, and sell a team that was 3-13. Sell a team with Doug Marrone as a new head coach, with Tom Coughlin in a new role. Sell it hard. And they did. And veteran players now, they're looking at quarterback. They're saying, where can I go where I can win? They have to sell a quarterback who threw 18 interceptions last year, and they did. So congratulations to Dave Caldwell in being able to check things off the box and get players that he wanted.
And yeah, all the new this year is fine, yes. But even over the past few seasons, building that perception, he said, was a challenge when they first came here. When he first came here as the general manager, I mean, who knew about Jacksonville? It was in kind of an abyss in the league in terms of perception, but that has changed over the last few years.
It has, and
certainly now with Coughlin and Marrone.
And a couple of these guys mentioned the way that this team has drafted the last few years, and I think that's very valuable because we have got to see this franchise make this day just kind of an afterthought. Maybe a guy here or there, but look at the Patriots who are just completely sitting out of this process.
They're
at this
not worried
point
about it.
Right. You know, the Packers don't play in this. You know, perennial playoff teams build themselves around the quarterback, and that's the thing that we've got to see come around here. But they build through the draft. And when you look at the guys that they added last year, you look at some of the players on this roster who were draft choices, the Linders, you know, the A.J. Cann, who I know didn't play great last year, but 2 years ago we came out of his rookie season and said, wow, that guy's really pretty good. You know, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee, grabbing Allen Hurns as an undrafted rookie free agent and then paying them.
Yeah,
right. So Dave has built through the draft and has some nice cornerstones that I think he can build on, and he's added in free agency. Congratulations to him in being able to, you know, get some things on his to-do list scratched off.
You know, you mentioned the Patriots. They have the one quarterback they don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Well, all they're worried about now is the other quarterback and hold him hostage for a little while and see what they can get for him.
Yeah, I think I'd trade him if I were them. I think I'd move on and get it while you can, but obviously they don't feel the need. I think they're letting it just ride. I would have traded him last night, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't get what they wanted.
Let's about to head down the hall. Laurente McCray is the next on the podium. The defensive end from the University of Florida is a Jaguar. He will contribute to special teams. You see him on the screen here taking a look at his new jersey.
He's a pretty big guy. He's 6'3", 250, long arms, big hands. Just the kind of guy you want running down the field getting in the way on special teams.
Was on the Broncos Super Bowl championship team, Super Bowl 50, at Florida from 08 through 12, part of the 08 SEC championship team there, and an undrafted free agent with Denver in 2013. Let's go down the hall.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Dave mentioned that you're going to be doing some pass rushing. How comfortable are you putting your hand in the ground and rushing from a three-point stance?
I'm extremely comfortable putting my hand in the ground. You know, that's one of the things I've been doing since I made the transition from linebacker to defensive end and playing outside linebacker hybrid. I've been doing it since I've been in college, since probably like 2009. So I'm extremely comfortable with it.
Laurente, after a couple stops far from home, how nice is it to be close to home, and how much family do you still have down in that area?
I have my whole family still in Florida, so I'm at a loss for words. I can't even think of a word to even describe the emotion that I feel of just being able to come back home. Like, there's not a word that I can say that pinpoint in a dictionary that describes me, how I feel just about this opportunity and about what's going to happen here in the next couple of years in Jacksonville.
Were you in Ocala yesterday when you got the news?
No, sir. I was actually in Bradenton, actually training down at IMG, down there putting in the work, you know, the forefront to get here and do better things. So just grinding, putting in the work.
Were there other teams that were interested, and did you consciously choose here just so you could stay in Florida?
Free agency for me was more of my agent's deal. You know, I made a transition in agents after the season was over last year, so I kind of put that in my agent's hand. You know, I was coming up as an unrestricted free agent this year, my first time being unrestricted. So I just put it in his hands, and I told him exactly what I wanted. And, you know, he talked to a couple teams, and Jacksonville was the best fit for me.
So the goal all along for your pro career was to try and play as close to home as possible and possibly even stay in Florida if you could, right?
The biggest thing for me was just finding a team that believes in me. It wasn't staying close to home. You know, that didn't matter at all, you know. I just wanted to go to a team that believes in me and a team that was ready to win, and that's what we're ready to do here in Jacksonville.
Well, what's your relationship like with Joe D, and how big was it to come back and play for him again?
2015, it speaks for itself. We're Super Bowl champions, so our relationship is Super Bowl champions. That's what we do, and that's what we're coming here for.
Anybody else?
Thank you.
Lorente McCray from down the road in West Florida, just north of Tampa there, Ocala area, a guy who's said he didn't worry about being as close to home, but it helps when you're that close to home.
2 hours, 2.5 hours from here. So, yeah, he's really close to home. And to have Joe D here, as we talked about earlier.
Big deal.
Well, look, I've told you before, I'm biased. Joe D is one of the very best in the profession. He's got a chance to go play for him again.
Let's go hear from Barry Church at the podium.
Hey, Barry, what made the Jaguars the right fit for you?
Well, for me, I was good in Dallas for 7 years. And when I was taking, my opportunities to look at teams in free agency, I kind of went down the roster here in Jacksonville and just saw how much talent they have at such a young age. I mean, it's a young, hungry team on all three sides of the game, which is special teams, offense, defense. So just coming in here, just put my vet leadership, to work, and hopefully we can get this team going in the right direction. But like I said, they have all the talent in the world. We just got to all buy in, and things will get done.
Follow-up to that, you've been on a couple playoff teams and also a team that struggled for a year and turned it around. How much can you bring that experience to this locker room?
Oh, yeah, like you said, I've been through all of it. I've been from, three straight 8-8s to 4-12 to 12-4, 13-3, all that good stuff. So I've been in a roller coaster with the Cowboys. But down here, I mean, like I said, we got the talent to do anything. And we just got to put the work in. Yeah, it looks great on paper, but the defense looks great, offense looks great, everything looks great on paper. But we got to be willing to put the work in to be able to reap the benefits. And hopefully with my presence here, Calais Campbell's coming in here as well, and A.J. Boye and everybody that they're bringing in, hopefully we can help lead this team in the right direction, and hopefully the sky's the limit.
This is a very young roster. How much did last year, dealing obviously with Prescott and everybody, teach you that youth isn't an excuse?
Oh, it's definitely not an excuse. I mean, you can come in here and you can have all the accolades in the world, but if you don't put the work on the field, it's not going to mean anything. And that's the type of mentality I hope to bring here to this team. It's just that, to be successful in life, you got to put the work in. I mean, nothing's going to be just handed to you. So hopefully I can bring that same mentality here and keep it moving in the right direction.
Barry, how have they talked to you about how they want to use you here, and how do you think it'll fit with your comfort level?
Well, they've talked to me a little bit, and they want to use me and Gibson kind of like interchangeably, to where, like, I won't always be in the box. I'll be in the deep half, or I'll be in the deep third, and maybe sometimes Gibson will be down there. So we just got to switch up the look so, offenses don't get the big tendency like, oh, Church is on that side of the field, so he's always going to come down. No, we got to switch it up like that. So that's how they feel like they've been using me, and I'm comfortable with that as well. In Dallas, we played pretty much 75% of the time was man-to-man coverage. So I'm pretty comfortable with man-to-man and in zone. So the way they're using me is pretty good for me.
You played, obviously, against the Giants and Tom Coughlin for a while. Was him being here an attraction for you to come here, too? Or did that play any factor?
I wouldn't say that played a big factor into it. The biggest factor, I believe, for me coming down here was just seeing the potential that this team had, and just seeing that I could be a part of something special. And just adding Coach Coughlin to that is just, added bonus. I mean, he's going to get the most out of every player that we have here. I mean, he's stern on what he believes in, and if we can buy in as a team and what he believes in, we'll be in pretty good shape.
Undrafted free agent to this point now, How gratifying is it?
Oh, man, words can't even describe it. I mean, I broke down so much today trying to get myself together to sign that thing. I mean, it's unbelievable. But, you know, I put a lot of work in, too. You know, I came, like you said, undrafted, you know, 7 years with the Cowboys and special teams, then went to there and then became a starter. So I put the work in. But there's definitely still some more work to do because I've yet to win a championship. You know, I've only won one playoff game. So there's still a lot of work to be done, and I'm excited about it.
Where do you think Romo's going to end up?
My best bet, I would have to say Houston. Just because all that trade went down, and I feel like they have enough space for him. So he should be a good fit in there, and I believe we get to play him twice a year, so that'll be pretty interesting.
Barry, how big of an adjustment is it going to be for you to go from that juggernaut in Dallas to here?
It shouldn't be that big of an adjustment. As far as, you know, wins, because, I mean, shoot, you got last year, I mean, you guys were down a little bit last year, but the year before that, I mean, you were on the way up. So I don't think it'll be an adjustment as far as, you know, playing with anybody. The city's beautiful. It's unbelievable. It's a very great friendly town or family town, and that's what I want to raise my children in. So it shouldn't be that big of a difference. I'm just looking forward to going on this football field and doing work.
Barry Church, safety at the podium. By the way, Brian Sexton is our version of Tom Rinaldi. He made him cry earlier today on the interview. Well done, Brian.
I try. I do my best. I have to say, by the way, the MVP of the Church family today is his wife, Marcia. His 9-month-old son, Jordan, was a handful. And I have three boys. I know what it's like when it's a handful. A cute kid all over the place. And he was down in the owner's suite, and Mark Lamping, the president's office, is there, and there was a lot of work going on. And Marcia was trying earnestly to keep the young man in check. And I, again, understand that better than most. And she did a phenomenal job. Nice lady. Church is a great young man. I'm just seeing him. Didn't watch a lot of the Cowboys last year, but I like what I hear. I like what I see. Now it's going to be a matter of can the Jaguars find a really effective way to deploy him. Undrafted out of Toledo, overcame an Achilles, has been a very consistent performer since. 85 tackles last year. Hey, you're adding him to a secondary that has Tashaun Gibson, now A.J. Boye, and, oh, by the way, maybe the best young corner in the game in Jalen Ramsey. I like his chances.
Let's roll the ball out there and play tomorrow. Yeah, let's go, right?
That's the hardest part about today. Right? Now you wait about 5 or 6 more weeks before they come back to the off-season program, and then you don't see him in OTAs until mid-May, and then you don't see him in training camp, and you hope to see him a little bit in August. Yeah, we got to wait till September. But when you look at these guys on paper, and it's always easier on paper.
Yes, it is.
If I told you what my expectations last year on this day were, hey, you get guys like this, you should be 8-8. Didn't work out that way. You get guys like this now, A.J. Boye, in connection with Calais Campbell and Barry Church. Boy, it's hard not to see where the additions of the past through the draft and what you could do in the draft don't make you better.
A.J. Boye was with the Texans. He stays in the division with the Jags.
A.J., congratulations.
Thank you.
What made the Jaguars, a lot of teams were talking to you, what made the Jaguars the best fit?
Just really looking at the roster and seeing the key pickups they got and just playing against them for, years, especially 2 times a year, and just seeing what they're capable of, and we know how athletic they are, and I just want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up is, how big of a day is this for you undrafted to this point?
It's very big. I think it's just really showing how hard of, the work I put in, extra film study, extra work after practice, just believing in myself, teammates believing in me, and just, staying prayed up, That's how I can say it, just having faith in God, really.
AJ, congratulations. Was it appealing having Jalen Ramsey here as well and getting a chance to play with him?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I became a fan early. I watched him, in college at FSU. I got some friends that are Seminole fans, so they was always talking up about him. And then checked him out the first game. I liked what I saw, but that second game we played against, I was like, he really has the talent, to be one of the best corners in the league.
Congrats, AJ. Have you talked to Blake yet? And how much did that appeal to you, having a teammate that you're familiar with?
Yeah, I talked to Blake probably a week before. He was just basically telling me about the city, and, me and my dad sat there and was talking to him, and, just listen to him, you could tell that he's really focused. I know a lot of people has been giving him a hard time, but, you know, everybody mess up in the league. It's the NFL. You're not going to be perfect. And, you know, I judge a lot of people by how they bounce back or, like, you know, if they're relentless or not, how they face adversity. And one thing is he said he's focused. He's in California right now, and I could just hear it in his voice, like he's just ready to go. And, you know, I'm close to home. I'm close to UCF. And I'm just ready to compete with those guys, man. I know they're looking for great things.
Could you do us a favor and pronounce your last name right so we get it?
Boye.
Boye, okay.
Yeah, not Booye, Booty. Booyow.
How do you stay hungry, you know, when you get a huge deal like this? And as far as you've already come, how do you stay hungry and keep that edge?
Just by setting new goals, really. At the end of the day, nobody's going to agree with, you know, what somebody signs for. They're always going to put a label on you. It's not your job to focus on that. Just control what you can. And, you know, I'll be talking to everybody about it. It's just what can you do every day to get better as a person, you know, on and off the field? And what are your goals? If your goals are aimed high, you're going to do whatever you can to get better. And like I said, just believing in yourself. If you want to be the best, you got to put in the work to be the best.
I should have asked this as a follow-up first, but what's the worst butchering of your last name? How many times do people butcher it? And
I've heard Baoye, Bui, Booyow. So I remember one time somebody said Bui, and my dad was like, well, they say it so much we're used to it. So, but it's pronounced Boye, like I said.
AJ, you talked about wanting to team with Ramsey and how athletic this team is. But let's cut to the chase. How much did the money factor into
this book? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that did cut into it. But at the same time, it was an opportunity, you know, felt like it would be a fresh start. Even though it had something to do with money, you just look at the pieces that you had around you. We just signed Calais, Barry Church. Like I said, we played them two times a year, just how athletic they are. All the games that they lost, they were close, you know, so we knew what they were capable of. And like I said, just to play with somebody like Jalen and the other piece they got, AC, I was talking to him, I trained with him, and, you know, I just knew that I could come here and definitely help this team win and just to compete.
Undrafted guy, not a starter to start last season, correct?
I started probably 11 games, I think they said.
But was there a point last year where you go, okay, this is going to happen, where you knew you were going to get the big payday?
I really wasn't focused on that because when you think about that, it affects your game. I had some ups and downs in Houston, but one thing that kept me going was – you know, J.J.O., all the DBs, Kevin Johnson, they knew the plays I made, you know, early in my career. You know, everybody's saying 1 year wonder, I'm okay with that. Like, but I believe in my ability. I've made plays over the years, and those guys pushed me, my coaches pushed me. And the more plays I made, especially with all the hard work, it just brought confidence just to see happen every Sunday.
And then secondly, Tom Coughlin, did he have any effect on you coming here? Or
yeah, definitely. You know, I was doing my research. I seen the Super Bowls he won in New York, and I seen the staff. I was doing my research on the staff, the coaches, and just what they was bringing to the table, their resume and everything. And I just knew that they're trying to turn this around, and they're trying to win now. And that's one thing Coughlin told me today, and, you know, that got me really excited. I'm just ready to go to work.
AJ, has it hit you yet that you're going to be playing your former teammates twice a year now, and how prepared are you to kind of go against them?
I couldn't sleep last night because I was thinking about it. No, I'm serious.
So you know, so you're gonna go from putting smiles on Houston fans' faces to putting frowns on them. Are you prepared for that?
I mean, I'm in it to win. I think we all are. Like, we're all friends, like, off the field, but there's no friends on the field. They'll tell you that. Like, we'll shake hands afterwards, but it's war. That's how we all look at it.
You mentioned Jonathan Joseph. How much did him and Kareem Jackson help you, and how much can you pass that on to some of the guys here?
They helped me out a lot, you know, just the way they approached, you know, coming to the job every day. J.J.O., 10-plus years. Kareem's coming on 10 years, and they, you know, they've been some of the best players in the league, you know, at their position. They made plenty of plays, as you all seen, and just learning from them, even learning from the coaches that I had up there, you know, at the end of the day, they never gave up on me. I know people gave up on me, but they kept helping me believe in myself, and that's one of the things. As long as you're encouraging others, it helps you better as a person and as a teammate and a player, because when you're encouraging others, you want to play for each other.
You have a pretty good relationship with Aaron Colvin, right? Yeah. Did he do a lot of recruiting?
I mean, not really. Like I said, I trained with him last year. I talked to other players, you know, with Houston, with other teams, and they was like, this will be a good opportunity, fresh start, just looking at, like, the pieces that we got in free agency and who they already had and the direction that they're going. So I talk to him, you know, once a week. We talk about other stuff besides football, and I just asked him about the city. I asked, you know, Blake about the city, and they basically was just saying, like, it's pretty much stuff to do here, but it helps you focus, and that's one thing, just eliminating distractions.
AJ, the Texans have built up a reputation as one of the best defenses in the league. Now that you see what the Jaguars have here, do you think that they can be in that top five realm in the league?
I believe so. They finished as one of the top defenses in the NFL last year. Like I said, the record might have not shown, but you've seen what they were capable of. And like I said, I'm coming here to work, and I want to make sure I could, you know, help out as much as possible to get them number one. And just being around a great defense in Houston, you've seen how those guys work. And you want to try to implement that here with practices, meetings, how you approach walkthrough and everything.
Everybody good?
Yep. All right. Well, he got it.
One more?
All right. In the AFC, no matter who you play, whether it's, you know, A.J. Green or Julio in the NFC, who's locking up the number one receiver on this team?
I have no clue. That's a good question, because I know – you know, especially what I heard about Ramsey, I heard he get mad when he asked for help. So, I'm gonna have some pride, and I'm gonna want to follow, because at the end of the day, it's about respecting this game. So, if they want us playing left and right, we'll do it. I'm hoping they say for me to follow the number one receiver, because I feel that'll make me better as a player and make me approach the job even more. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like there might be some competition to follow the number one receiver around, huh?
You like that. You absolutely like that. It competition makes everyone better. Jalen obviously focused on it. I mean, when he played the best receivers in the game last year, he played his best. What he did to DeAndre Hopkins in Week 15.
It woke him up, too, apparently.
Absolutely. Unbelievable. Too bad the Jaguars couldn't close that one out. Yeah. The line of today so far to me is, I stayed up all night thinking about it. People laughed. He said, no, I'm serious. Right? He was dead serious about playing Houston twice a year. Love it. Love the approach to the game.
Division rival now facing his old team in the division. It's going to be awesome. That'll do it for our coverage for now. Calais Campbell, the contract still being worked through. He's in the building. Don't fret. When it happens, we'll have live coverage of his press conference whenever that happens today here on Jaguars.com. Check out all the archived material here on the website today. Plenty from Brian Sexton down the hall after all these guys signed today, and you made a guy cry. Well done. That's a
I don't think as a reporter that you can call yourself a true reporter until you've made someone cry. Someone that's not small and helpless. Come on. He was crying because of the contract. He was so happy to be able to take care of his family.
Check it out on Jaguars.com. The archive of this coming up as well. For our entire crew, I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for watching Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.